Hi guys, my name is Tony Basiglio. I'm from Acumen Security, and today I'm going to go ahead and talk about some of the pros and cons when you're considering using an embedded FIPS module versus validating an entire product. So what are we going to talk about? First, we're just going to give a little background about what it is, then some considerations when you're thinking about embedding a FIPS module or validating your whole product, and then sort of what your first steps are, sort of your strategies, if you will, when you've made your decision. Yesterday I was actually, I was reading through the agenda and I said, oh my gosh, I think my presentation's today, I thought it was tomorrow, but as it turns out, it's very similar to the, some of the content's very similar to the material that Carolyn covered, but very fortunately, there are a bit of differences as well, so I think we're going to be good. So let's all, before we get started, let's imagine if you can, you're sitting at your desk and your phone starts ringing and you say, okay, someone's calling, they want to know what's going on. It's your salesperson. He's excited. She's excited. She's got a big deal, millions and millions of dollars, ready to sign. But just at the last minute, their customer says, oh, I just need to see your FIPS number. I just need to see your certificate. And then we'll finish this up and we'll go have a beer. Salesperson looks around and says, ugh, I don't know, let me call my contact. So he calls you up. He says, hey, are we certified? I just need this number, then we're going to have a party. And that's when you realize you don't have a certificate. You haven't been through FIPS validation before. What are you going to do? So what's the problem here? Well, let's step back. You're non-compliant. You use all sorts of weird self-homebrewed crypto. You don't have a lot of time. This end customer needs to make a decision. He's either going to be able to go with you or they're not going to be able to go with you. And you have lots of pressure. Pressure. People have quotas, they want to make their sales, they want to help their customers out, and they know your solution is the best solution. So here's the solution. Use an already validated module. It solved the world's problems. Well, maybe. It's not quite that simple. So what's to it? So there are a couple different approaches you can take when you're validating a product, clearly. One of which is sort of the traditional, you take a product, you engage a lab, you draft up a bunch of documentation, you find a bunch of non-conformances, the lab tests it, they submit it to the CMVP, they test it, and then a year later you pop out with a certificate. That's your sort of your traditional way of validating crypto in a product. There are a number of disadvantages to that, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But what an embedded crypto module is, it's usually something that's pretty tightly bound. A lot of times it's just some crypto algorithms, some self-tests, and an integrity test. And it can be used, it can be dropped in, oftentimes potentially just a drop-in replacement for some of the crypto that you have now. And then it's called on a service-by-service basis. But it's not one-size-fits-all. It won't automatically meet your procurement requirements, and it won't automatically work for you. So what are some of these considerations? What defines if this is a good solution for you or not? So let's first talk about embedded modules. Let's talk about the case for them, why you should consider using them, and why these are a good thing. First off and foremost, time to market. In an ideal solution, it can be potentially weeks as compared to months or years to have validated crypto. Now, that's not in every case, even with an embedded module, but there's at least the potential to get it much more quickly than if you had to take your product, make a bunch of updates, and send it through the entire system. Cost. This is an order of magnitude less expensive than taking a product through a validation, generally. Now, This just makes sense, right? So these embedded modules, these have already have a certificate issued to them, already have a FIP certificate issued to them, already been through that process, already been through the waiting period, already had the lab scrutiny, already had all their documentation that's associated with going through a certification written. Essentially, all your work, all that work's been done up front for you. Level of effort. Sometimes it's just a matter of integrating a component into a product versus full validation where you're fixing bugs on an individual basis, you're coordinating with labs, you're coordinating with the government, you're waiting, there's phone calls, you have your sales people on the phone. It's just a sort of a streamlined effort here. Maintenance. One of the biggest concerns that that vendors and people procuring products run into is if you validate a product, you're tied to a specific hardware and software version. Any software updates you make minimally have to be reconsidered and a certificate update to maintain your compliance. However, if you use an embedded module and the boundary is tight, you can make software updates outside of that, and as long as you don't change the way you're using your crypto module, all those services that you're using it for still maintain that FIPS embedded module goodness that that you got originally. You're maintaining the software version, and you're maintaining its usage. Scalability. So there are not a whole lot of, well, there are a number of companies, but more and more companies have multiple product lines. So you validate one product, you're not going to have, you're not automatically going to receive that for other products in that specific product line or other tangential products. Using an embedded module, you put it into that base code, and as long as across platforms you're using it the same way, you essentially inherit the FIPS certification, the similar to how you're inheriting it just in the use case of one product. A lot of times there are small teams, and honestly, teams are more interested in making cool features. Product companies aren't in the business of certifying products; they're in the business of building things that people want to use. So embedding a cryptographic module, sort of that, for lack of better term, set it and forget it mentality, helps them enrich their overall customer experience. And then finally, sales. Oftentimes that's the driver for this, and being able to point to that one embedded module certificate meets the crypto use requirements typically. So here is here's something that's particularly important when it comes to talking about using an embedded module. Now, a lot of times these are software modules that are being used across different platforms. But if you look at a FIPS certificate, you'll see that it's been tested on a particular processor in a particular OS or in a particular environment. Now, you would think, perhaps it wouldn't apply to my product because it wasn't tested the way, on my box. But there are some porting guidance that's provided by the CNBP in what's known as an implementation guidance that, if you're in here, you've probably read them a number of times, that essentially says, as long as you're using the product as it was validated, the embedded module as it was validated, you can still maintain your certification. And that's a very important tool for vendors who are trying to provide embedded modules or crypto solutions across many platforms. Now, there is a little caveat to this because this essentially becomes a self-assertion that your module, the way it operates, hasn't changed as it moved to a different operating system. In fact, there's some additional guidance that I wasn't able to pull from the website because I couldn't find it while I was putting the slides together that said that there's no sort of assurance that's provided from the CNBP itself. And it's just sort of a vendor self-assertion. So, but with that said, this guidance right here means that your procuring customers can still leverage your module and your product. I've underlined the important parts here. Just note that, you know, no source code modifications, and there are some additional things as well to consider, but I'll talk about that momentarily. So this all sounds great, right? See, it's you know, it's faster, it's cheaper, it's quicker. To make your sales, you can go and celebrate. Why would anyone consider doing it any other way? I don't know. Well, let's talk about it. Embedded modules, the case against them, because of course there is a case against them. Burst coverage. Some functionality just may not be there. And some of the services that your product provides just may not be done in a way that is conducive to using an embedded module. So the classic case that I see here is if you're a system with high throughput requirements. So a lot of times that'd be something like a MACSEC enabled device or large carrier grade equipment that need to have some of their crypto accelerated using hardware crypto. Many, if not most, of these embedded modules that you're using don't support that, right? So they're typically software solutions. So if you're a product vendor that has that sort of product, maybe using an embedded module isn't ideal and isn't going to give you what you need or what your customers are looking for. Relevance. So since the crypto requirements never change and acceptable crypto algorithms never change, something that's been validated 2-3 years ago should be okay, right? Well, that's not true as we know. Crypto standards are changing, new ones are being introduced, old ones are being deprecated. And using an embedded module that was validated 2, 3, 5 years ago might not cut it anymore. The CVP has policy now of moving things to historical lists based on a couple of different criteria. Some of the algorithms are dated, so you don't automatically lose your certificate if you support an outdated algorithm. Essentially what happens in that case, that service moves to a non-approved service. So it's still available for procurement, but that service that was previously able to be used can't be used anymore for FIPS, to meet FIPS requirements. And it also might not meet other certification requirements. So typically FIPS, while it's an important component and in many ways table stakes for what your procurement agencies, it's not typically done in a vacuum. So it interacts with a number of other tangential certifications like Common Criteria or UCAPL. And as I'll touch on in just a moment, just because it's FIPS validated, it won't automatically meet all of the Common Criteria requirements, as an example. Maintenance. One of the things that you're doing when you're using someone else's crypto module is you're giving up control of it, so it's being maintained by somebody else. So, some providers of embedded crypto modules are really good about that. You know, they're taking their products through all the time, they're staying current with recent implementation guidance, et cetera. But not all of them are. And then there are bugs. If you find a bug or if a bug's identified, you don't control necessarily when that's going to be when that's going to be resolved. So you give up some of that control. So there's a trade-off there. And then marketing. One of the things that people like are to be able to have their name on the website. Now, just picking an embedded module up and putting it in your product, you don't automatically get that. Now, I'll talk about in a moment. There are some ways around that, and some providers of embedded crypto modules do provide a path to having your name listed as a private branded crypto module, but you don't automatically get it, and salespeople like to have a website to push and say, see, we did it. So it's not automatic that using an embedded module makes sense. So I had mentioned it doesn't always, and these modules don't always play nice with other certification. So here's a requirement pulled from the Common Criteria and DCPP. looks like a pretty pretty normal requirement. It's about key generation, crypto requirements. So of course you're going to have some overlap between FIPS validation and common criteria validation. A lot of the tests are the same. You essentially do CAVS testing to meet the common criteria requirements as well. It's great. You're using an embedded module. You're using OpenSSL. That's been validated 1,000 times. You even went through and the OpenSSL Foundation tested on your platform, and your operating environment is listed on the certificate. So you're great, right? Well, this one right here, RSA key generation, which is very common, of course, if you're doing any of a number of crypto services, it's the predominant asymmetric crypto, other than elliptic curve stuff. You'll notice it says that you have to be compliant to FIPS 186-4. So great. We'll just point them to my OpenSSL certificate, and we'll be good to go. Well, it's been a couple of years since OpenSSL proper has been validated. And they don't support FIPS 186-4 for key generation. They do support it for signature generation and verification, but since they haven't made the update, they still only support FIPS 186-2. Now the update's small, right? It's just a couple lines of codes, literally three line of codes, I think. But it hasn't been through the process, hasn't been tested, so you're using this embedded module, but it's not going to work if you're going through common criteria. And let's say, okay, we'll just fix it. So you go ahead and you fix it, but now you've invalidated your module certificate. So when you're planning your embedded your strategy, these are things that you have to keep in mind. So it's missing. So embedded modules are great, but they don't cover everything. Key management. So typically speaking, as I mentioned, crypto modules are toolkits. Hey, I have this, do an operation on this. Hey, I have this, do an operation on that. They typically don't take care of the entire key management or key life cycle. Key derivation functions. So crypto is used to secure trusted channels between distinct endpoints. Key derivation functions are typically handled as part of the protocol stack. So you have the actual crypto components, but you don't have the ordering, if you will, that's used to derive your keys. So that's usually handled sort of outside that boundary, either by the calling application or by a wrapper function or something to that effect. So you miss that. And as of a couple years ago, key derivation moved from being sort of an unapproved but allowed service to an approved service. So if you're doing key derivation functions and you're using an embedded module for that, you're technically doing some FIPS crypto outside of your crypto boundary. And then entropy. Most of these embedded crypto modules have a caveat on the certificate that say, may be modified, your entropy, your key strength may be modified by available entropy or something to that nature. So your system is providing that. So that's something that's typically outside the bounds of that. So now what? All right, so you've thought about it and you said, you know what? I still want to consider doing it. What do I need to do? First, there are a couple of things you got to look at. One, why are you considering it? Do you have a salesperson saying, I need it now, or is it part of a larger security strategy for your organization? What are your competitors doing? You know what? You might be able to use an embedded module and it'll take care of it, but if your competitors are doing something at a higher security level, it still might not be good enough. How much time do you have? Is it a hard-pressing need, or is it a longer-term strategy? What services are using crypto? If you're just using it for a HTTPS server, maybe dropping crypto is the way to do it. But if you're using it for something more, something high bandwidth, or something on your data plane, maybe it's not. And then what other certifications, as I've mentioned, are you looking at beyond FIPS 140? Here's just some commonly used embedded modules, and I know I'm running out of time. All of your operating systems have embedded modules you can leverage. A couple open source, the most commonly of which used is OpenSSL. I think it's in 80 to 90% of all network devices, so it's very commonly used. And then some private label modules, SafeLogic, RSA, Mokana. They all have crypto modules that may even be compatible with the implementations you already have on your box. So what are some approaches? I like to call them hybrid approaches. So maybe you have a really, really hard sales requirement that needs a certificate now. Maybe that customer is only going to be using it for control plane. So perhaps you start by dropping your OpenSSL into your control plane, and then you're meeting the services, or you're providing FIPS compliance for the services your customer is interested in immediately. But then you have some data plane functionality that's not covered by that. So then you move to a more full feature validation of your product. Roll your own. So another strategy that's employed by a lot of people is having a privately branded or privately owned embedded module. So this may be a rebranded OpenSSL module. This may be a module that's provided by some third party who provides those services. But then they use that, and they often will take control over the source, and it'll be maintained. And then pick and choose. This is sort of similar to what I was talking about earlier, where maybe some of your customers are only interested in a couple of your services for FIPS protection, and they use that embedded module for that. So that's it. Just in summary, I told you guys what we're talking about, some considerations when deciding if you should use an embedded module or not, and reviewed some of the steps for getting going. And with that, I don't think I have time for questions. It's 10:15, so thank you.
Okay.